理课堂听 class.com.
In one enormous whoosh, the waters of the stricken stream came rushing down the slope, and in a moment the Baudelaires were no longer on a frozen pool at the bottom of a strange curve of ice, but simply at the bottom of a rushing waterfall with gallons and gallons of water pouring down on them. The orphans had just enough time to take a deep breath before the toboggan was forced under water. The three siblings hung on tight, but the eldest Baudelaire felt a pair of hands slip from her waist, and when the wooden toboggan bobbed to the surface again, she called out the name of her lost friend.
"Quigley!"
she screamed.
"Violet!"
The Baudelaires heard the triplet's voice as the toboggan began to float down one of the tributaries. Klaus pointed, and through the rush of the waterfall, the children could see a glimpse of their friend. He had managed to grab onto a piece of wood from the ruins of headquarters, something that looked a bit like a banister, such as one might need to walk up a narrow staircase leading to an astronomical observatory. The rush of the water was dragging the wood and Quigley down the opposite tributary of the stricken stream.
"Quigley!"
Violet screamed again.
"Violet!"
Quigley shouted over the roar of the water. The siblings could see he had removed his commonplace book from his pocket and was desperately waving it at them.
"Wait for me! Wait for me at—"
But the Baudelaires heard no more. The stricken stream, in its sudden thaw from the arrival of false spring, whisked the banister and the toboggan away from one another down the two separate tributaries. The siblings had one last glimpse of the notebook's dark purple cover before Quigley rushed around one twist in the stream and the Baudelaires rushed around another, and the triplet was gone from their sight.
"Quigley!"
Violet called one more time, and tears sprung in her eyes. "He's alive," Klaus said, and held Violet's shoulder to help her balance on the bobbing toboggan. She could not tell if the middle Baudelaire was crying too, or if his face was just wet from the waterfall. "He's alive, and that's the important thing."
"Intrepid,"
Sunny said, which meant something like, Quigley Quagmire was brave and resourceful enough to survive the fire that destroyed his home, and I'm sure he'll survive this too. Violet could not bear that her friend was rushing away from her so soon after first making his acquaintance.
"But we're supposed to wait for him," she said, "and we don't know where."
"Maybe he's going to try to reach his siblings before the eagles do," Klaus said. "But we don't know where they are."
"Hotel Denouement,"
Sunny guessed.
"VFD.
"Klaus,"
Violet said, "you saw some of Quigley's research. Do you know if these two tributaries ever meet up again?" Klaus shook his head.
"I don't know," he said. "Quigley is the cartographer."
"Gado,"
Sunny said, which meant, "We don't know where to go, and we don't know how to get there." "We know some things," Klaus said. "We know that someone sent a message to J.S.
"Jacques,"
Sunny said. Klaus nodded. "And we know that the message said to meet on Thursday at the last safe place."
"Matahari,"
Sunny said, and Klaus smiled, and pulled Sunny toward him so she wouldn't fall off the floating toboggan. She was no longer a baby, but the youngest Baudelaire was still young enough to sit on her brother's lap. "Yes," Klaus agreed. "Thanks to you, we know that the last safe place is the Hotel Denouement."
"But we don't know where that is," Violet said. "We don't know where to find these volunteers, or if indeed there are any more surviving members of VFD. We can't even be certain what VFD stands for, or if our parents are truly dead."
Quigley was right. "We've managed to investigate so many mysteries, and yet there's still so much we don't know."